Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store.
Shh.
Are you listening?
This is Slug Soundwaves. My name is Dylan Almond.
I'm Jill Witt.
We are Brutalist. We're electro-pop, synth-pop, punky. Yeah, we're trying to hit all of the bases, all the genres. We've been playing for about almost a year now. And we're just about to release our first album on August 28th. At Portals Music Festival is our release show, and then we have a local release show as well. Super inspired by other local musicians like Musor. I think Alan is like one of the most talented people in Salt Lake, and he's also a beautiful person. I think Fig is my modern favorite. I think that they came out so hot and tight, and they bring a lot of, I thought, what was missing in the scene. And they are filling that hole well. They're doing a damn good job. And they're also really nice people. I think I value the kindness of the scene the most.
They locked me up, but I still feel free.
We were going like in the direction of like Sextile. Like, I think we wanted something that was like maybe not exactly their sound, but the same idea of like getting people to dance was like part of the main goal. But I definitely think we've fallen further away from that the more we've like recorded.
Yeah, I think as we wrote, we wanted to be pretty dark and heavy. I think I've always wanted to be in a like dark, mysterious project. But as the music came out, it came out, I think, a lot more loving and beautiful and happy. And I would say that it is happy music for sad people. And I think I really need some happiness in my music because life is hard. So I think that finding the joy in music is a lot funner. And accepting that as where this project was going was, I think, a breakthrough moment of feeling comfortable on stage because we weren't feeling like we were putting on a show other than what, like, yeah, I think we found ourselves in accepting that. I would say that I came from a guitar background, and guitar pedals interested me, I think, more so than the guitar. And when I got my first synthesizer, I realized it was like a giant guitar pedal and a keyboard. So I went down the rabbit hole. And I also lived in an apartment at the time and realized that I could practice at full force anywhere I wanted. And it's more beneficial than I expected. It's made for that I can practice whenever I want. And I love that. I do it a lot.
Yeah, also, like, for me, like, Dylan makes pretty much all of the instrumental side of it. Like, I don't know shit about synthesizers. He just tells me what buttons to push, and that's really fun. But for me, the draw was, like, doing a project that's so opposite of mine. Like, mine feels very, like, vulnerable and soft, and his is like, he's like, get out there and just like get the crowd to dance. And it's like push me in a way of, it's totally different than mine. So that's been really fun.
Okay, so my main brain of the synthesizer mountain is the MPC Key37 that has built-in synthesizer sounds, built-in drum machines, and I can also program all my sequences into it, and then that will send my sequences to each other synthesizer. So a lot of this set, we're not actually playing the notes, we are playing the knobs. And I find that that is a lot funner on stage because we can be a little bit more present with the crowd rather than worrying what notes we're hitting. We can just hit the filter really hard, and that's really fun. And so at some point at a show, I'd love to explain to the people what we're actually doing. Because it's really, I think I'm using that MPC in like a really unusual way. I don't think I have the oldest software version. Specifically so I can use it how I'm using it. And it's essentially a giant mixing board with built-in drum machines and synth sounds. It's the best. Highly recommend the MPC Key37. It's the best instrument ever. I'm obsessed with something every like 3 years and then it changes. So when I started playing guitar when I was 23, I was really into like Delta blues, and I had a resonator and I was going to play slide and I was happy with that. And then I went to my first Desert Days and I was like, I need to get a delay pedal and some fuzz. And that's where Fervors, my first band, kind of grew from. And so I've gone from like blues to like really heavy psychedelic guitar based music and to like EBM goth. And I think I've fallen back towards like a little bit more of the happier side of synth music.
Dylan loves a happy song because it was something that he can dance to.
Yeah, Joe loves.
I love the saddest song possible. And Dylan searches through his stuff and is like, this one's so sad, and the beat just drops hard, and I'm like, this is a dance song. This isn't sad.
Yeah, I love when something, I think that's my favorite part about the synthesizer, is the emotion you can emote from something. It feels so human, and yet it is a synthesizer. It's the most synthesized thing ever, you know? We'll be right back. I mean, I just go in the jam space and I hit the drum beat. And I go, and then I throw down a bass line. And once those two things are set, then I jam. And so, there's periods where I'm going through a loop for 2 hours straight and I don't notice it because I'm in the jam. I'm sure it's not great to live.
I have
with.
To come in and be like, you need to choose something different.
But
that is kind of how we started playing together, is he'd put these songs together and start singing, and then I'd hear him over and over again. And so eventually I'd like pop in and be like, what if you did this? Or like, what if you change this? Or what about this lyric? And after a while of that, I finally was like, can I just be a part of this?
Yeah, she was always right. She'd come and be like, you should try this. And I'm the most stubborn. I was like, oh, actually, that's awesome. I'll do that. Yeah. And so I was also so scared to go on stage alone. And so she coming into the band probably is what got us on stage. I could have just wrote songs in my apartment forever. But yeah, I would say my live rig is set up in our living room at all times. And so the writing is actually probably the easiest because it's just me.
Yeah, he makes all the instrumental part and most of the lyrics. And then sometimes I'll come in and refine or...
We're always working through the finishing touches together.
Like any writing, it's like different every song. So it just depends on the song. But
I'd say Jill is a lot better lyric writer than I am. I kind of haven't literally listened to a lyric in my life. I'm there for the beat, you know? And so she's always been pointing out lyrics to me, and it's like, oh, yeah, I've never noticed that. And so it's nice to have somebody that thinks a little bit deeper about the lyrics than the surface level stuff I would put there, because I don't think anybody else is paying attention to it. So I feel like it's enhanced the product a lot. It's been really fun. So yeah, usually I would say jamming is where the instrumentals would come from. I would like find a melody and then it's stuck in my head all the next day. And that melody would then put some lyrics in my head. I'd have to start singing to the song that was in my head, you know? So I come home with somewhat of a melody, go right back to the drawing board, try it out, see what y'all thought.
Then I come in and say, let's do a completely different melody.
Change that. No, it... So yeah, definitely at work. And we both are big cell phone recording listeners. Like if we get a good practice and we're like, oh, that song sounded great and we recorded it, both of us will listen to it 10 times the next day to make sure that it was still good. This was also the first time I've recorded with synthesizers, and I recorded all of the new album at home by myself, and it was the first time I've really recorded, but I would say that the synth is one of the easier things to record. I didn't have to mic up anything, so other than our vocals. So I actually had a lot of fun in the studio, and being the one that mixed everything, I had the most fun because much like every... guitar or the synth felt like every guitar pedal, the recording process felt like I had every synthesizer and every guitar pedal and everything built into my computer, so it felt like unlimited power. It was really fun to record this project.
Yeah, like vocals in our tiny little closet.
Yeah, set up the microphone in our closet because everything else is hardwood and echoey, and it turned out great. It was so much fun.
Yeah. I am the one that led.
So the name of the album is First Come. And I think there's innuendos there that are fun, you know? And it's our first album. I already know the name of the second album, and people will probably guess that, maybe. But I don't really know any themes. I would say that much of them are about struggling in life and also finding how beautiful life is. You know, I think that subject matter is probably what inspires me the most to, and those lyrics kind of just fall out of me. So I don't think I meant to have themes, but I think the overall theme would be struggling with self-doubt and maybe self-hate. But then also loving yourself at the same time, you know? So nine, I had two that were like my oldest original demos, and I kind of sang completely different on one of them, and I was like, I'll never be able to do that live. Like, I didn't even want to try. I hate it every time. So I trashed that song. And then the other song was about motor scooters, and I
hit a phase.
I'm never going out of it. I'm never going out of it. But it was kind of a dumb song, and I realized it was kind of dumb. But I think that's kind of what's fun in our music, is it can be either totally serious or a little bit dumb.
And silly.
Yeah, I think that's fun. So Motor Scooter may come back one day, you know? So I recorded nine, left it with seven. It's only 28 minutes, and it, I think, is a heater all the way through.
And he's already cooking up new stuff, so.
Yeah, I was trying to have a whole new album by the time we released this album, but it's been a busy summer.
I think for me, like, vocally, my favorite one is On My Mind. I think it feels like maybe the most, like, offset from the album. It's like a little softer, feels like a little more like Nation of Language, kind of like a more of like a ballad in some way.
Yeah.
So that one's like fun for me, but I think overall I would probably say Drive, where we do like harmonies on top of each other, and it's like very dark, and yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, I would agree. On My Mind would be my favorite song on the whole album for sure. It was our final single that we released. It was the only song we didn't really have finished going into the studio or into recording. And so I had the whole song, but I didn't really have a bridge, and I was just kind of dinking around with the MIDI notes, and I had never really mess with the MIDI notes. Every MIDI note was something we played, and so I had that same loop that was going throughout the whole song, and I just kind of deleted a couple notes, and within that loop, like, the sickest bridge ever came out of it. It's like same riff but slightly different the way it hits the delay, and it was like that first like magic moment in the studio of being like, what just happened? Like, happy accidents, you know? And so that made it probably my favorite part of recording, and my favorite song, because I think the bridge is sick. But Drive is also probably the funnest song to play live. It's a good time, and get some good feedback from the crowd during that song, so that's always really fun.
This is Dylan from Brutalist, and you're about to hear our song Drive off our new album First Come, out August 28th. Here it is in its entirety. Thank you. Our music is available wherever you consume music. Our next show is at Portals Music Festival at Strawberry Pinnacles Resort. It is going to be a magnificent time with an all-time local lineup. And our album release is August 28th. First Come, available everywhere you listen to music. And also Far Out Fest. We're headlining Far Out Fest this year. And that's a great honor. Don't miss that one.
This episode was produced and edited by me, Nate McQuivy, and promoted by the Slug Magazine editorial staff. Be sure to check out this month's issue of Slug. You can find a copy anyplace cool or at slugmag.com.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, help support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.